Welcome to the Amped Podcast. On this episode, we bring you another masterclass in collaboration with MTN. Get your caller tunes now. Enjoy.
I'm an entertainment lawyer, and I specialize in entertainment law, which is music, television, film, for the creative industries. So the whole point of this is to ensure that you have an understanding as creatives of the laws around the music industry or, you know, the creative industry at large. So I love interacting. I prefer to ask questions at the onset so that I get a sense of what you want to learn and what you want to know as well. I'm going to start with, what is entertainment law? Do any of you guys have a sense of what it is, what it entails?
Entertainment law has something to do with the protection of entertainers themselves. It's just the governing, I guess, law in the entertainment space. I'm not sure if that makes sense.
So entertainment law is definitely the laws that govern the relationship between creatives and entertainers within the entertainment industry. So it speaks to issues around contracts. It speaks to issues around the legislation. The legislation itself is also quite varied in its approach because it takes from intellectual property law, it takes from commercial law, so it takes from a whole body of other laws to then create what we call the laws regulating entertainment law. So in our country of South Africa, there isn't a specific act that is called the Entertainment Law Act or anything of the sort. There isn't even any courses that you study for entertainment law. So you, in effect, are drawing information from all different places, the contracts themselves, and also just borrowing from the international space. So with the work that we do, and in terms of entertainment law, we are trying to help you as creatives to get a sense of how you can protect yourselves. And we also do work with, you know, the corporate side of things, which are the labels and the artist management companies, etc. So ours is to help you to ensure that you know what your rights are and that you are always protected.
So I just want to find out, as an aspiring artist and a music producer, if I'd like to get in a co-sign agreement with a record label or just get a sign under a record label, what are the things that I should focus on so that I don't, you know, get faced with unexpected things in the future?
With the recording deal, for the most part, you're not going to enter into a co-sign. It's going to be and through and through, or they're going to license your material, right? And the licensing is when you've already recorded the music. You've already created the album. You've put it together. It's mixed. It's mastered. Now, you don't want to be signed as an artist, as a recording artist, but you want them to release the music on your behalf. Then you license it to that record label. Then they would then release the music on your behalf. They would do all the distribution. They would do the marketing. They would do everything that's needed in terms of getting the music out there to reach as many people as possible. So you can either intend to that or intend to a recording deal. The recording deal will be clear. You are assigned to them. For the most part, it will always be exclusive. There'll never be a non-exclusive recording deal that you're going to enter into. What some of the contracts are now doing is that they want you to enter in the capacity of your name, because previously people used to enter, you know, in these agreements and say, you know, I'm Palesa, but I'm Palesa signing on as P Money. I don't know, I'm just giving a name, you know, P Money. That's how I'm entering into this contract. And then what does Palesa do? She wakes up 2 years later. She's frustrated, disgruntled in this label, changes her name from P Money to, you know, P Cash or something like that, and then you know, P Cash, and then she signs as P Cash, signs with somebody else. Then it's like, okay, but you've already got an existing record deal, because that's what a lot of artists used to do previously. They just changed their name, so now you've entered into this agreement, so it's exclusive. That's what they'll have. They'll have it that whatever stage name that you have, you are still signed as Palesa. And Palesa, in all iterations, is signed under this particular label, right? The other thing they need to look out for is then the album commitment. Some record labels are, the duration is linked to album commitment instead of it being linked to term, as in 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. They'll say to you, you've got 5 albums that you need to release for us. And if you don't release those 5 albums, and it could be 30 years that you're sitting with this particular label. So instead of saying the deal is for 5 years, and in the 5 years, I must release the 5 albums, they'll say the deal starts today and it ends until such a time that you've released those 5 albums. And sometimes they'll tell you, you'll have breaks in between that you can't release the albums excessively. And, you know, in 3 months, you have to release it every 2 years, every, you know, 3 years, or or whatever, because then they know that you can churn out the music and then you leave the deal within 6 months because now you're disgruntled and unhappy. So that's what you need to look out for, is that. I mean, personally, I would always recommend that if you've got a deal that's linked to an album commitment, you need to make sure that it's also tied into terms, right, and into time and duration, so that the label itself, they also know that they have to release the music within a certain period of time. There are a lot of artists who are sitting frustrated who are signed to a label, but they've never released a single album, but they've got a 5-album commitment. I would also say, when you're starting with a deal, you do 2 albums instead of saying a 5-album, because you might not be happy with this particular label. They might not give you the joy that you want, but now you've signed and committed yourself to 5 albums. And 5 albums might be 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. You need to look out for who owns what. Do they own the material? All labels want to own the master recording to the particular works. This is when you're signing as a recording artist. But if you're licensing your music that you've already recorded, then you will always own the master to that. But for the period of time that it's licensed to them, they've got those rights to exploit that particular music that you have, which means they can sell it to third parties for usage and, you know, soundtracks for usage on for synchronization deals. So TV adverts, movies, etc., then they can use that, that exploit that material that you've given to them or the music that you've given to them. Another important thing is the advance. If you get an advance, you must check how much that advance is, when you have to repay it, and is it recoupable? Is it attached to the money that you make? So if you're making money from this deal, are they first going to recoup all of that 100,000 that they might have given to you before you start earning money? And the other important thing is that every other expense, you need to look into how they recoup in general, because if they're going to take you to a photo shoot, they're going to book the recording studio, they're going to get the producers on board, they're going to get the beat makers, the lyricists, the vocalists, the backing session musicians, they're putting together this whole album. Is it recoupable? And how is it recoupable? You need to look at that, because it's an expense, it's a cost. So they might say to you, you're not going to earn anything off this album until you've paid back all the costs that we've put in, or for even creating you as a brand, because then there's also that, right, where they've created you, they've plowed money into you, you're a newbie, nobody knows who you are. I mean, it's different if you're a Beyonce, you know, everybody knows who Beyonce is, so there's really no marketing of a Beyonce, but there's still a marketing cost in terms of the album itself. So now you have to pay all those costs to the record label. And people do sign to labels because labels have money to create you as an artist instead of being, you know, an independent artist. As an independent artist, you're going to struggle firstly with, you don't know the distributors, you don't know the publishers, you don't have these relationships. So you go to a record label because they can unlock all those relationships. And some of them, you know, the major labels are also linked to international labels, which means it gives you access to a collab with an artist in the US who might be your favorite artist, etc. So that's what you need to look into, all those recoupments, because having that featured artist on the song is an expense. Who's going to pay for that? And for the most part, the artist at the end of the day is the one that's going to pay for that, and it becomes recoupable from all the earnings. And then the other important thing that you need to look at is, so there's something that's called non-recording income, NRIs. So non-recording income speaks to performances. So you're signing into a 360 deal. So a 360 deal means that the record label has the right to exploit and earn monies from the music recording, your live performances, merchandise, across the board. They can earn everywhere. So traditionally, the deal used to just be recording, and it was always just strictly based on the actual music that you're recording and the album that you're releasing. But because there's money in performances, now they want to also earn from the performances, because they've also created you as a brand. So now they want to earn from your brand earnings. Some of them I've seen more recently, if you're an influencer and you're a content creator, you're earning fees from, you know, being Balesa, a Jägermeister, for example, or MTN. They want to use you in one of their ads. Some of the record labels want to earn from that because they're saying that they've created you. So those would be the NRI, the non-recording income that they would then earn and get a cut. You need to then look at that. How are they earning from that? How much are they taking from that? And should they actually be taking from that? My recommendation is always that you should never enter into those kind of agreements, because they're already going to earn from the recording element of it, and now they're going to also earn from the performances. They're going to earn from all these other brand deals that, in essence, they have no business in earning from. from them. Then there's also merchandise, which then means that you can't release your own merchandise if you want to. But an H&M wants to approach you for a collab. Now, you can't enter into that collab. And if you do enter into that collab, it has to go through the label, and the label is then going to earn from that. But you're that star, that person who they've actually approached. So you need to look at that NRI and how you earn and how much they also get a cut from that. And from a licensing perspective as well, if you're licensing your album, then you must attach it to a period of time, right? So you might say it's going to be 3 years, it's going to be 5 years that this particular album I'm licensing to you. And if you're also licensing, how are you licensing it? Does it mean every single album that you create over the 3 year period is going to be licensed to them, or is it only one album that you're licensing to them that you've already created? So those are the different things that you need to then look out for in that. Some of these licensing agreements are disguised as recording deals. It's just that if you don't have the eye for it, you won't be able to identify that it's actually a recording deal, but it's disguised as a licensing deal. Because I've seen it, we've had fights before with one of the majors on behalf of one of my clients. They said it's a licensing deal. He had already created the material, but they wanted to recoup certain amounts. They wanted to earn from other areas. And we're just like, but that's not what this agreement is about. The agreement is licensing the material to you, and that's all you've got is that particular album, and it ends there. All provisions, like I said, are important, but those ones are the ones that I think you should really look out for in these kind of deals.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Amped Studios podcast in collaboration with MTN Play. Subscribe to this podcast now. For more information about Amped Studios, go to ampedstudios.co.za. That's ampedstudios.co.za. And don't forget to get your caller tunes now.